Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you in the house today. We're continuing in the book of Acts today. We took a brief pause last week for Easter Sunday, but we are stepping back in and starting into Acts chapter 8 today, and we'll read that together in a moment. But we're looking forward today to hearing from our friend John Imbo. John and Deb are a part of our congregation as well as their four kids, and we're so grateful for when John is able to be with us, and especially when John is able to share with us. If you've never met John or don't know him, John has been a pastor. He served in a number of different organizational roles in the kingdom, and John is presently the president of Wycliffe Canada. And Wycliffe does Bible translation and literacy work around the world, helping people who don't have the Word of God in their language have it in their language. And so John travels around Canada and around the world doing this kind of work and serving the global workers that help translation works made possible. Translation works that this church has been a part of in our long history as well. So we're really happy to have John with us today. He's going to come in a moment, but I'll invite you to stand first for the reading of God's Word. We are in Acts chapter 8. Today we are looking at verses 1 through 4. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. That's God's word. You may be seated. John, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
I'll take the mic. Thanks. Okay. Good morning, everyone. So good to be with you this morning. Great to be at Living Waters and to worship together, lifting our hearts up to Jesus, who we love, and worship of him. Good to be around the scriptures and to pour into the Bible together. So good to be at a church, isn't it? I'm one of you, and it's good that we go to a church where the scripture is preached, and we stay in the scriptures, and we dig in, and we get our backpacks on, and we dig for these gems, and we take these with us. The Lord speaks through his word, amen? He is constantly using his Bible, the Spirit of God using his word to weave something into our hearts. It's one of the primary ways the Lord has always changed his people to be more like him is through the word. This has been something that God has done for thousands of years, and he continues today. What an amazing thing. Today we're digging into a scripture that God has been using for thousands of years to shape his church, and he's doing it again today with you. What a privilege. What an amazing thing. Today we are looking at another part of this book of Acts that we've been involved in. We were just looking previously at the life of Stephen and that short story of his where we see Stephen's martyrdom and we see him being stoned to death. And now we're seeing the scattering of the church, the persecution of the church with Stephen's story and now the scattering of the church. A few months ago, I was in South Africa with my role as a Bible translator, and being in South Africa, I met with a woman who's a Bible translator in Indonesia, and I was talking about, wow, what's it like to translate the Bible in Indonesia, and she said, well, you know, if I was to ask you, what do you think the percentage is for the dominant religion in Indonesia? And I said, well, it's probably like 99.9999% Muslim in Indonesia. And she said, yeah, you would think that. But what if I was to tell you that there's a story emerging where there's something very different happening in Indonesia? She said, what if I was to tell you that in some places in Indonesia, it's now 90% Christian? Yeah. She said, there's something happening in the church right now that is extraordinary. And Indonesia is actually the fastest growing country, where the church is growing the fastest in Indonesia than anywhere else in the world. She said, by the way, I've been in a church twice when someone came in and blew up a bomb in the church. And she survived both times. Well, it's a story, isn't it, of an incredible growth of the church alongside of incredible persecution of the church. And that's what's going on in our passage today. That's what's going on here with this story of the stoning of Stephen and now the scattering of the church. So I hope you're excited about digging into the word to get today together. Verse 1 from chapter 8, verse 1 says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. We've got a lot that we can learn today in our short time together about what it means to see the church scattered today under such persecution and what God is doing in that persecution and in that scattering. Here's the first thing I think that we should really note. Ready for number one? You get your wee pens out and your papers and you can start writing things down now. This is your signal to get your moleskin out and away you go. Your app, whatever it is. Number one, the church will always be persecuted. Yeah, the church will always be persecuted. Oh, what a rough start for writing these things down. But you might be saying, always I was hoping for the day when it would be like, that's it, we've reached full utopia, Christian utopia around the world. There's nothing like that anymore. It will always be persecuted. It was in the earliest days, and we see that in this passage that we've just read together. You know, we see that with Jesus and moving forward then in the Acts and looking through church history, we see the church has always been persecuted, is being persecuted even today, as I mentioned from that story from Indonesia. It always will be. Why? Is probably your question, right? But why? The church is always persecuted, and the answer to our deepest question around why that we have as believers is the reality of what the church is. The reason why it's persecuted is because of what the church is. The church is, in fact, completely other. It's completely other than the world. Yeah? We are nothing like the world. Listen to me, Christians are nothing like the world. We're completely other. And that's because we are the body of Jesus. Yeah? The church is best known as that metaphor that the Lord uses to say, what's the church like? It's the body of Christ himself. And Christ is the Holy One. Jesus is the Holy One of God. And if we are his body, then we are that Holy Ones that are sent out into the world. And so we are completely other than the world around us. It's like light and darkness, right? This is another metaphor that the Bible uses to describe the church, describe Jesus himself. Yeah, this light that was coming into the world, and though the world did not recognize him, the world did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, those he gave the right to become children of God. And that's what we are. We're his children, and so we're his representation. We are his body. We are that lightness going into the darkness. And the domain of darkness hates the light. Now, this is the very reality of what we read throughout the scriptures since the garden moving forward. The darkness hates the light. But Jesus' light, listen, cannot stop shining in the world. And this is what we learn from Jesus talking about the church. The church will go forward like that light, and it can't stop shining. Yeah? It's like a city that's on a hill. That light cannot be hidden. You can't hide a city lighted up on a hill. It's impossible. That same way, it's impossible for the church to be dimmed. It's impossible for that light not to shine. It is the very light of Jesus Christ. And since the darkness hates the light, therefore the persecution, therefore the opposition. So we see that the church then goes forth in this way, and it goes forth with action, right? The Spirit of God empowering the church with action. This action is action of love. Listen, truth, compassion, grace, worship, gospel, neighborness. It's a word I just made up. It goes forth with neighborness, sacrifice, humility, honor, integrity. Well, the world pushes back on this. The world pushes back as it did with Jesus. That's the way that Jesus went forward. And so I think you're probably picking up now that the reality of answering that question, why will the church always be persecuted, is because of our identity. We are, in fact, identified as the very body of Jesus Christ. And we say, well, John, but sometimes we're not so good at being that, right? And therein lies the rub, right? The church, I believe, that is pressing in on Jesus and pressing in on who he is and what he is like is becoming that light that God has called us to. And as we're stepping into these characteristics of Jesus in the body of Christ, and as we are being Jesus in this way to the world around us, we will receive that kind of, therefore, that kind of opposition. Well, for some, this may create a sense of fear, right, when we hear this. Say, well, I'd rather not be persecuted if that's a, you know, if I had the choice here, I'd rather not be. And so maybe I might just be a Christian and be a good one, you know, and lean into this in the privacy of my own home, and the privacy of my life. And, you know, many people do this, right? And they think this way. And the world would prefer that as well, right? The world would prefer, you can believe whatever you want, man, but just keep it to yourself, right? You know, if you could just, you know, do believe whatever you want, just keep it to yourself. This is not an option for us. I mean, we can't read the scriptures and move from that to say, well, a city on a hill could be hidden. Maybe a light could be put under a basket and still shine, right? It's actually not an option for us. And in the places in the world where the church is saying, well, we just can't do this. We love Jesus. It's true. We believe it with all our heart. We're moving forward with it. They're seeing this kind of persecution, yeah? So the first thing I think that we have to say about why the church is persecuted is because the church is, in fact, the body of Jesus Christ. So number one, the church will always be persecuted. Here's number two. As we look at this passage, we have to say that the gospel will always thrive when the church is persecuted. You've probably heard this before, right? You know, we just said that about Indonesia, and you know, we see the church thriving, yet it's under this kind of persecution where there's actually terrorism connected to this. Like, wow, and the gospel will always thrive where the church is persecuted? Tell me about that. Well, we're seeing this all over the world, aren't we? About 3 months ago, I was meeting with a group of Iranian pastors. And they had to flee Iran under threat of their life. And they were meeting with me. They're talking about how they're still training pastors in Iran. They're having to do it now by traveling to a safer location, a neutral kind of location or safer, in order to connect with these pastors and train them. They said to me, John, you wouldn't believe what's happening in Iran. They said, would you believe if I told you that we cannot train the pastors fast enough? Yeah. Can't train them fast enough. So many people coming to Jesus, there's not enough pastors for them. Yeah, and this happening under incredible persecution, right? The gospel always thrives under this. I talked to another pastor here in Canada. His church, they see this as well. And so they travel, they take trips of believers like us, right? And they take us over to a location where they can, again, train more Iranian pastors who are living within the country and sharing the good news and pastoring people who are coming to Jesus. It's also one of the fastest growing churches in the world is in Iran. Well, why? Why does the church thrive? Why does the gospel thrive under persecution? We know why it's persecuted. It's the body of Jesus. It is a light on the hill. Darkness always hates that. But why does the church thrive under such persecution? You know, we might use another metaphor to describe this, like the world reaches out with the power that the world understands, right? The power the world understands is the sword, yeah? Violence. And so the world reaches out with that kind of power and squeezes the church, like a fist and squeezes the church. By the way, the power that the kingdom of God uses is something totally other, right? Remember, this totally other. Sometimes we use the same power wrongly. You know, we say, well, the world uses that power. It's really effective. Let's use that same power and squeeze things, right? Squeeze people around us. We try to choke them with things. You should behave like we do, and we squeeze them like this. Yeah. But actually, the power of the church is something completely opposite. Yeah, Jesus said, more of this, less of this, right? Yeah, so more of this. So this was the reality of Jesus saying, the power of the church is actually in sacrifice. Yeah, you see that with Stephen's story. But the world reaches out and grabs a hold of the church and squeezes it. And when something gets squeezed in your fist, if it's malleable, when you squeeze in your fist, what happens? It starts squeezing out through your fingers, right? It starts coming out. And the more you squeeze, the more it pours out the sides. And that's what's happening with the church around the world. And that's what's happening here in chapter 8, verse 1. Yeah. The squeezing of the church causes the people of God to scatter. And boy, do they scatter. They scatter all over the world. Recently, I did a bit of a study of all the names in the book of Acts after chapter 8. You might want to try this. It's exciting, extraordinary. All the names, and there are many that are just mentioned. We don't know much about them, but church history has gathered information around these people. But we see them moving, scattered now from here to there. They're moving. God's moving his people from here and through persecution, moving them over here, and they're taking the gospel message with them, preaching the good news, and now these people are hearing the good news, and churches are forming and being planted, and the kingdom of God is coming into this area where there was no light. People like Phoebe, women like Phoebe, women like Priscilla, moving from here to there. Priscilla moving from the west, right, modern-day Europe, moving east to modern-day Turkey. Yeah, and people like Lucius and Simon, or Simeon. These are men who moved from Africa, yeah, modern-day Africa to modern-day Syria. And so moving from Africa, Simeon being African, moving from Africa to Syria today. And if you go through these, you see others who were born in Syria moving to the west, like Luke, who wrote down these words, you know, moving from Syria to the west, to modern-day Europe. And it's incredible. I mapped it out on a map. I got a map, and I started drawing all of these actions out, and it just looks like this. It's just this spaghetti of people moving from here to there. This is the early church. This is God's way of taking that squeeze and then moving his people all over from everywhere to everyone. And that's still happening today. And the squeezing that's happening is still bringing about God's power throughout the world. Well, the fact that growth would come through that kind of persecution seems upside down. It seems contrary, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like that should work. The world's hoping it wouldn't go that way. It'd go the other way, right? If we could squeeze the church, maybe they'd be quiet. Maybe they'd go away. But the opposite happens. I think what happens when the church is persecuted is, and you probably know this, you're thinking of the same thing. I mean, people's faith becomes very real under persecution, doesn't it? It becomes very real. I saw this in Cuba. For years, I was going to Cuba to meet with the church in Cuba. And I saw pastors, many of whom had been arrested under the communist rules of you're not allowed to preach the gospel, not allowed to convert people, not allowed to hold churches. These churches are illegal. But their faith was very real, wasn't it? There's no culture Christians under that kind of persecution. There's no culture Christians. Yeah. Was asked to preach and share at a Cuban church. And the pastor there said, before you speak, John, just let me check something. And he kind of looked around like this. Yep, I know everybody here. Yeah, and I know none of these people are culture Christians. They're, they're going to, yeah, you're safe. And then he went, he looked out the back window. He put his head right out the window like this, looking down the street. You're good to go, right? Go ahead and preach the word. Don't tell my wife that story. She thinks it's super safe on all my trips. But that kind of living under that kind of reality really purifies the faith, doesn't it? Brings a purification, something that I think you're being drawn to right now. I would imagine that you're being drawn to it rather right now. Saying, I want that kind of faith, yeah? I want that kind of purified faith. I do. I want that. And that comes from pressing in on Jesus. It also brings about a full reliance, doesn't it? Yeah? When you're persecuted like that, you're fully reliant upon the Holy Spirit and his power. You're just sort of like, well, God, I mean, I don't know if this church is going to be blown up today. I don't know. So I'm fully reliant upon you and your power. And that's a good thing because the power of God, this other side that we've been talking about, is that God brings about life from death. That's the gospel story, right? Resurrection. Life comes from death. Yeah, the seed falls to the ground, and then it grows up into something that's so extraordinary that it's beyond what you could possibly imagine. Life comes from death. And so that full reliance upon the Spirit, well, Lord, you've got to do your work because I can't do this. It's impossible. You know, going forward, this is impossible. I have a Bible translation friend who was in a country in the Middle East, we'll say, and has been translating the scriptures into the language of this area. And I was translating it. Somebody came in and grabbed the scriptures out of their hand and said, I hate this, and threw it onto the ground and then stomped on it and smeared it like this with his foot, right? And then stood back. Now, that's a moment of like, wow, like run away, right? Like this is not safe. This is not good. But then this power of God bringing from death something alive. Only God can do something in this moment. He looked down and he saw once it had been smeared open, he saw the scriptures, he saw the Bible, he saw it was written in his language, his heart language. And he went, wait a minute, that's my language. He's like, yeah, this is the Bible. The Bible's in my language. It's not in English. It's not some weapon of the West. No, this belongs actually to everybody. It doesn't belong to one people. Never did, right? It always was this, everywhere to everyone. And then picked it up off the ground, dust, dust, dust. I want this, right? I want this. Came back later to say, this is like part done. Is there another? Is there more? Say, yeah, there's more. There's more. Well, hurry up, man. Get it going. Get it going. We're trying. We're hurrying. Speaking of hurrying, let's move on because I think the reality is that we're understanding that the gospel thrives under this kind of squeezing. It's not just in Indonesia. It's not just in places like Nigeria where there's more persecution than anywhere else. There's more death to Christians in Nigeria. Last week at Easter, something terrible happened, yeah, with a lot of loss of life in Nigeria. Hmm. It's not just in places like Iran. Well, there's persecution here too, yeah? Now, persecution is something that is both overt, and these would be certainly examples of that. It's also something subversive, yeah, that happens. It happens in media. It happens in around water coolers. Happens in neighborhoods, around neighbors. It happens online. Happens in families. Happens a lot in families. And that is too. That's happening too. But I can tell you that in the West, where we live, under this different kind of, or looks different, and who knows what's going to happen. The reality is that the church is growing here too. Yeah, church is growing here too. There's something at work right now. The Spirit of God is doing something at work right now. It's amazing. I was at a church last week in Richmond. They're seeing growth happening, and it's nothing to do with anything. It's got to be the power of God. Somebody came in off the street that week and was like, I just feel so lost and so hopeless, and so I thought I'd come to a church. What? This is amazing. In Canada? What's going on here? The Spirit of God. It has to be. It has to be God's Spirit. And heard the good news. Amazing things happening in New York City right now. A lot of people coming to Jesus. So let me land the plane here. the church will always be persecuted. That's the reality of the fact that we're the light of the world and the darkness hates the light. But the gospel will always thrive when the church is persecuted. That happens here with the scattering of the believers, and boy, the church really explodes from there, and it's happening all over the world. Here's my final point, is that the believers will always be safe when they are persecuted. I wanted to share that message with you today, because messages like this, missionaries come in and they say, there's terrible things happening all over the world, and you can sort of say, well, I don't feel very safe, and I really don't want that to happen here. And nobody does, of course not. But you'll always be safe as a believer when you're persecuted. So, John, how can you say that? How can you say such a thing? It's like it's a guarantee you'll be safe. Well, you say, well, I mean, not Stephen, right? I mean, just read that, not Stephen. But I don't know, go back and read Stephen as he's dying, yeah, in his vision, what he sees. He sees the Lord coming on the clouds, his face radiant. Seems safe to me. Read your Bible, and we read through these passages of, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Well, I'm safe. He's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table for me. Where? Surrounded by my enemies. There I am at the table feasting, safe and secure in God's arms. The kingdom of this world, yeah, the citizens of that world, are against us. But we are citizens of a completely different kingdom, and we're safe and secure in the kingdom of God. Press in on the reality of being safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Press in on that, and you will be filled with the Spirit of God and with his courage. Yeah, you will be saying things that are extraordinary you never thought you could say to someone in your time. You'll be sharing the gospel with your neighbors. You'll be talking about it around the water coolers. There'll be a motivation that comes, a courage that you never knew you had. Yeah, be like my friend when we were in Northern Ireland during the Troubles, walked into a park full of young men who could be completely against who we were, right, and where we were from, completely against us. He stood in front of them all and said, does anyone here want to talk about Jesus, right? And they went, and they just took off, right? Like, we're out of here. All except for one, yeah? He stayed behind and said, yeah, I'll talk about Jesus. And we talked about him. And my friend had this word from God that was exactly what was happening in his life with his father. Became a Christian, that man. Courage like I've never seen. Let me finish with this. There's a great hymn that we used to sing back in the day, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Yeah, leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all alarm. Oh, I love that. Leaning, remember? Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you in your precious name, and we lean in on you, Lord. We press in now. We've got so much fear in us, Lord, about what's happening around the world, and we do pray. We pray for our fellow believers, our sisters and brothers who are under such persecution. We pray for them, Jesus. We lift them up before you. We know they're safe and secure in your loving arms. And we pray, God, today that you would help us as a church to move forward to be the light of the world, Jesus. Give us, Lord, your Spirit that we might live with the power that comes from being so other, yeah, the holiness you call us to. Please help Living Waters to be the very body of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and strength and opportunities, and that the gospel would continue to squeeze out through us to every place that you bring us. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Luke Mann, come and share.
Thanks for joining us today. We invite you to find other ways into the life of the church. There's so many ways to connect this week. If you have any questions, especially if you're new or newer, we'd love to help you find ways to get connected. I'm going to be standing here at the end of our gathering. Please come and introduce yourself, and we can go from there. I'll invite you to stand as we close with benediction. Paul is writing here to the Thessalonians about persecution itself. Paul prays this at the beginning of the letter. We're asking God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said together, amen, amen. Give someone a hug or a high five before you go. Grace and peace.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.